This evening, for a brief while, I want to direct your thoughts and minds to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. These are very well-known words, I'm sure, to most of you, but here they are. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those words. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You'll see there that Paul speaks about the wages of sin. And he's using a picture. He's using a slightly unusual word. And he draws the picture from the life of a soldier. And I want you to imagine just for a moment the soldier who goes into the battle to fight. And he knows that he will have his wages at the end of the battle. Very often the soldier's wages in those days would have been a piece of meat, among other things, salt. But he knows that he's going for his wages. And because he is keen, he is, as it were, fired up by the prospect of receiving his wages. He goes into the battle and he gives it his best shot. And that's the picture that he's using. It's a strange picture in a way. He's using that picture of the sinner. Just as the soldier goes into the battle hoping for his prize, his reward, he's giving that as a picture of the sinner who goes into sin with that kind of eagerness. He is keen to go and sin. But Paul then turns the picture upside down and he says, and you know, the wages he gets for that, the wages is, it's death. It's death. He doesn't get the meat at the end of the battle. He gets death for his energies. And really, he's giving us a picture of a sinner who is, as it were, committing himself to it. He is, as it were, running into sin. That's the picture. And Paul has told us something terrible in this picture. The wages is death. It's death. Now, death is terrible. Death is a terrible thing. We see people die. We know that we will die. And we see people who die, they breathe their last. Their body, as it says in the scriptures, it returns to the dust. That's what the Lord said to Adam. He said, you are dust. From dust you are taken, to dust you will return. And when a man or a woman dies, all that they liked, all that they had, all that they wanted is taken away from them. Even marriage is ended by death. We look at our husband or wife and we say, we belong to each other in this life, but death ends that marriage union. But I say to you, death is terrible. The wages of the eager sinner, it is a terrible thing. But I say this to you, that it's not just that death is terrible, but far worse, because after death, there is the judgment. That's what the writer of the Hebrews says. He says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Somewhere else the Bible says that the spirit, when the body returns to the dust, when it corrupts, it decays, it is ruined, he says the spirit returns to God who gave it. And we need to know that after death we stand before God. We stand before God. People who think that death is the end of our existence are making a mistake. We are brought by death to stand before God. And the Bible says this to us very plainly. If you die in your sins. Jesus talked about dying in your sins. If you die in your sins, then when you stand before God, you will stand before him guilty. And even worse to come, the Bible speaks about the second death. We read this morning about the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels and those who die in their sins, those who die and come before God to hear those words, "Cursed, depart from me, you cursed," into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so I say to you that when Paul says the wages of sin is death, he is telling you something terrible, something awful is coming, the wages of sin. And if I say to you that death is terrible, then we can go further and say, but so is sin. Sin is terrible. In we read from Romans 6. Throughout Romans, especially the early chapters, Paul is painting a picture of sin. He describes the world in chapter 1. I remember reading that not long ago to my sister. And she hadn't read that, Romans chapter 1, for some time. And it shocked her because she said, this is exactly what I live in the middle of. This is what it's like in... She lives and works in and near London. She said, that's what it's like. It's a description of real life in Britain today. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2 goes on to speak about the similar, as it were, disobediences and transgressions of the Jewish people. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul even speaks about himself and his struggles with his own heart. Who will deliver me, he says, from this body of death? And really, you see, the picture of death is terrible because sin is essentially, it's the foundation of sin is laid in godlessness. That's what Paul says. They are godless. And because they are godless, because they will not acknowledge God, then they are also unrighteous and unthankful. There's a whole raft of disobedience where men shake the fist against God, mock him, and do not honour him. And we see this terrible picture, the plight of man. And what Paul is really saying in the first half of this verse is this: to live without God and to live without Christ is to live in death and to advance towards hell. That's the picture. If a man lives without God and lives without Christ, he is, as it were, already dead in his soul. And he is coming to that time when his body breaks and his soul is taken. And he stands on the brink of hell. That's where he's going. The wages of sin are unspeakably awful. Unspeakably awful. But Paul doesn't finish there. He goes on in the second half of his verse and he speaks to us about the gift of God. See there? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now you notice he's no longer talking about wages. He's not talking about the soldier who fights eagerly to get his piece of meat. He's not talking about the man who, as it were, is striving to sin, turning his back to God. He says, no, the gift of God is eternal life. It's almost as if he's saying, you look for sin, you look for death, but God surprises you in his mercy to give you a gift that you were not looking for. This is something not worked for. It says somewhere, I was found by those who did not seek me. It's in the prophets. I want to say to you that the Bible makes it quite clear that God is not glad when someone goes to hell. He is not glad about that. Have you ever noticed these words in Ezekiel chapter 33? The Lord says to his people, now I know it's to his people, but he says this, say to them, listen to these words, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What? But that the wicked turn from his way and live. See what he says? Turn. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Now you might say, What do I think about Ezekiel's words there? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I tell you, those words are borne out through Scripture. Do you remember when the Lord placed Adam in the garden? He warned him, do not eat from that tree. That was, as it were, an act of warning, prohibition. Don't eat from that tree, Adam. In the day that you eat from it, you will die. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, bear with me while I turn to these words. Listen to what the Lord says to his people. He says this. He says, Deuteronomy 30. He says to them, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. He goes on, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, listen to the word of God, therefore, choose life, both you and your descendants may live. Can you hear the way God's addressing his people? Why will you die? Choose life. He's calling people. He says in Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And these words come out in John chapter 3. Words that we may struggle with at times. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I say to you that in the Scriptures, right through the Scriptures, we find the gospel. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God holds out the gift of eternal life. He holds it out. Now, what this text is leading us to is this, that the sinner receives eternal life when he receives Jesus Christ. That's when he receives eternal life. You notice what he says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is what I say to you, the sinner receives eternal life when he receives Jesus Christ. And I go further tonight and I say to you, there is no other way to receive eternal life except through receiving Jesus Christ. Listen to Peter and John preaching in the early days. Listen, these words, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's Peter preaching. He's saying, there's no other name by which you may be saved. There's no other one in the whole of history and the whole of this universe in whom we may have eternal life. The Scriptures, God, his preachers, they commit us to Christ. If you want to receive eternal life, you must receive Christ. Now this evening, I ask you for a moment to consider Christ. Consider what we've just sung. We've just sung that Christ died. We've just sung that he rose again from the dead. We just sang that he is alive forevermore. Consider Christ. The Scriptures paint the picture. He died and he rose again. If you have your Bibles, you can look at it or you can just listen. In Romans 6, before Paul says this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Christ Jesus, our Lord, he writes this. Listen, he says, Romans 6. For the death that he died to sin once for all. He's talking about our Lord Jesus' death. He died to sin once for all. And he goes on, this is Romans 6:10. But the life that he lives, He lives to God. Now Paul is talking about Christ. He said he died. He died to sin once for all. And the life that he lives to God. This is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ dying and rising and living to God. In the same place, the verse before, we read this. Knowing that Christ, listen to this, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, listen, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Can you see what he's saying about our Lord himself? See, he came to die, but now he has risen. Death has no more dominion over him. Think about Christ. You know his life. It's in the Gospels. You've heard it many times. He came and he died once for all, says the scripture. That's what Hebrews says. Christ died once for all. But now he says, now he lives and death has no more dominion over him. Death is in the past for Christ. Jesus Christ himself ever lives. That's what he's leading us to. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the ever-living Lord. And we can go more. We can remember what Christ said about himself. He didn't say, I live forevermore only. He also said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's as if he's saying, if you want to find life, you must find me. It is in me. It is a personal thing, not an abstract thing. And so Paul has this in his mind when he says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what he has in mind. Now what he is saying to us is this. We receive him by faith. It is by faith that we receive him. When a man hears the gospel and he believes it, and he receives Jesus Christ, then he receives everlasting life. Now Paul in this chapter is at pains to talk about the Christian, the believer, being bound up with Christ. Listen, he says, listen to these words, we were buried with him through baptism. Listen to what Paul says about us and him. We were buried with him. He goes on, we have been united together with him in the likeness of his death. Listen, knowing that our old man was crucified with him. Now Paul is talking about us now. He's saying, do you know what? We have died. We have been buried. That's happened to us. How has it happened to us, says Paul? We say to Paul, what do you mean? He says, well, if you've been united to Christ, you've been united in his death. When he was buried, your old man was buried. When he was crucified, your old man was crucified in Christ. Now, this is what it is to receive him by faith. You see, Paul is going to great lengths in this letter to call upon his readers and to remind them what he's preached. To preach Christ is to call upon men and women to receive him by faith. Now, if you think about it for a moment, you realize, don't you, that when Paul preached the gospel, when we preach the gospel, we are not calling upon men just to take a kind of interest in it. We are calling upon men and women to make a choice, to make a decision. Someone's going to say yes, but they haven't got the power to do it. Nevertheless, the gospel calls for a decision. Moses in Deuteronomy, he says to the people, choose life, choose life. Do not choose death. And when Christ comes into this world, he calls men to him. He says, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. Now, when we, as it were, when by the grace of God, and yes, the choice is something that he must give us, of course. But nevertheless, with our hearts and our minds, we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our God. It is something nobody else can believe for you. God doesn't believe for you. He calls upon you to believe. He calls upon you to receive his Son. And when Christ comes into you, then all is different. Death, as it were, is in the past. You died with him. You were risen with him. A new man, the Holy Spirit, brings you to a new birth. There is a new person created in Christ Jesus. Paul speaks like this everywhere. And so he says, you receive eternal life in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. When you receive him, then you can point to Calvary and you can say, there my sins were punished. And you can point to the grave and say, that's where my sins were buried. They've gone. That's where they've gone. And this means that when you die, if you die not in your sins but in Christ, when you die, it means that that death is the opening door to the presence of God. And you will stand before him not guilty. How is that then? A sinner to stand before God not guilty, not condemned, not facing the everlasting fire that cannot be quenched, but receiving the kingdom of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. When God sees a Christian, you see, he says, I see my Son in you, or I see you in my Son. A Christian is bound up with Jesus Christ. That is the essence of being a Christian. Well, I say to you, what a gift, what a gift. I have never fully understood how when preachers of the gospel hold out to the average man, if you like, everlasting life. I cannot understand, in one sense I can theologically, I cannot understand why anyone would say, I don't want it. You know, 100 years from now, not one of us will be in this room. Another generation will be in this world. We'll have gone. Even the youngest, we won't be here. Our lives are short. And that the Lord is holding out to you and to me and to everyone everlasting life. What a gift is that? And you can ask the question tonight, why is it that so many people don't want it? Why is it that so many people do not want everlasting life? And the answer is everywhere in Scripture. Well, they hardened their hearts. That's one answer. The Lord says here, they love darkness. You may find that staggering, but men loved darkness rather than light. I wonder whether there's an element of this. To have everlasting life, you have to have God. And to have everlasting life, you have to have Christ. And they don't want him. They don't want him in this life. Why would they want him in eternity? Why would they want him? And they don't want him now. They don't want their lives to be lived for Christ. They want to live for themselves. Why would then they want to spend eternity living for the Lord? And yet still, although so many turn their back, still, Paul says, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So what I'm saying to you is this. These brief words tonight are God's powerful way to save men and women from hell. It's the power of God is in the word of Christ to save you from salvation. Okay, and you've heard it. You've heard it tonight. You've heard it many times. I want you to know that the wages of sin, which awaits so many men and women, the wages of sin is death. And those who eagerly go into the sinner's path, expecting the reward that they get, the wages they get, are terrible wages. wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Receive Christ, receive life. Amen.